No one has won office in Oakland in probably 3 or 4 decades unless they were endorsed by the municipal unions. And Richard Raya and Amy Lemley, and to some extent Dan Kalb, are all endorsed by municipal unions. In particular, the firefighters have endorsed Amy, and they've endorsed Richard as their second choice, which is actually quite interesting because if you look at the structure of the municipal unions here, you'll realize and how they interact with politicians. You'll see that the reason that that Oakland firefighters and Oakland cops are able to maintain extraordinarily high wages and compensation, job benefits, they're getting on the average 200,000 a year, 100,000 in wages, 100,000 in benefits. The reason they're able to sustain that is there is a clause in the city council, I'm sorry, in the city charter that's called, it's called binding arbitration, and it's only for fire and police, okay? It is such an important clause that the those two unions, the police and fire unions, in their negotiations for the for their last contracts, insisted and extracted from the city council members a pledge not to work to repeal that. Now the ironic part, it's not even ironic. The sad part of that clause is not only does it make it extremely hard to ever lower compensation to police and fire, which by the way consumes over 3/4 of our general fund, not only does it make it really hard to lower their compensation in any way, it makes it really hard to get rid of bad cops or bad firefighters. It goes to arbitration, and the arbitrators throw it out and reinstate them. So time after time after time, you see bad cops or bad firefighters back on the job, you know? And it's really quite shocking that a candidate like Lemley or Raya, who considers themselves progressive, are basically in the pockets of a union like firefighters who's protecting that system. That, to me, that's disgusting. Okay, I you know, even if you think they deserve that kind of money, which I do not think they do, or that we have to pay them that kind of money to protect bad cops with a system like that is reprehensible.
It protects bad cops too.
Oh, it does. Oh, it does, because the binding arbitration covers a wide range from wage and all compensation issues to personnel issues. So, in other words, you know, if it does, whether there's a contract disagreement about what to pay them, or whether there's a finding, say internally in the police department, that an officer used excessive force and should be disciplined or should be kicked off the force. The OPOA, the Oakland Police Officers Association, merely has to say we disagree, and it goes to binding arbitration. The arbitrator generally sort of splits the baby in half, kind of thing, and so usually, okay, so there's some, so instead of kicking him off the force, they suspend him from pay for a while, and back the officer goes on the force, you know, and what when the officer should have been kicked off. I'm not saying, you know, that there's a, you know, dozens of officers who should be kicked off, but there certainly are some, and they don't, generally speaking, they don't get kicked off. They're protected by that very system that Richard and Amy are accepting money from one of the prime unions that supports it. It's tied to fire and police. Okay, so there's essentially you're not when you're supported by a union such as firefighters, you know, you don't bite the hand that feeds you once you get elected. That's why in the past, as I say, well, in the past 30, 40 years, there hasn't been a single, I don't think there's been a single person elected to political office in Oakland who is not supported by the unions. And essentially what you have as a result of all that is what you have is extraordinarily high levels of compensation for most city employees as well as benefits. It's a little known fact. Most people in their minds think city workers are not well paid but get good benefits. No, it actually isn't correct in the case of Oakland. Unlike many other cities except San Francisco, that's probably another exception, and unlike many other cities, so the employees in Oakland, in most job categories, not all of them, but in most job categories, are paid at the top or even 10% higher than the highest scale of similar jobs in municipal positions throughout the United States. That was by the city's own salary survey of a couple of 3 years ago. That survey was taken off the city's website at the behest of one of the unions who said, quote, it was inaccurate. It really isn't inaccurate. When you see what Oakland City employees make and compare them to what state workers make or county or federal, no, or civil or private industry, they are remarkably well paid. And I'm not just talking about police and fire. They are very nicely paid. And in addition, get great benefits, not just good benefits. They get benefits where police and fire can retire at age 50, and they're accruing pensions of 3% a year. That's been changed a little bit by the last contract so that you can't retire before they're 55. That doesn't make much difference. Most police and firefighters don't retire till they're probably 57 or something like that, okay? Regular city employees can retire at age 55, and any city employee who's worked at least 10 years full-time in a benefited position gets medical retirement benefits for life, for themselves and their family. Considering most Americans can't get that, don't get that at all, even if they work for this, federal government, I don't think gives that to you. And in any event, most government employees, let alone civilian employees, don't get any medical benefits until the normal Medicare qualification age, which is what, 65. Here you can retire at 55 or 50 in the case of a former police or fire person. Wow, that's like some 13, 15 years in which the city is shelling out. It's not a Cadillac plan, but everyone knows how expensive medical insurance is. You're talking several thousand dollars for many, 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 probably thousands of employees, especially as they retire. That's why we have an unfunded medical retirement liability of over $400 million and growing by the day, especially as medical insurance goes up.
So is that part of your campaign platform promise that you'll...
Oh, what is it? Oh, pardon me?
Is that part of your promise that you'll fight to end binding arbitration and...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, binding arbitration should be repealed regardless of whether you think police and fire should be paid $200,000 a year. Even if you think they should be paid that, they shouldn't be protected for misconduct by binding arbitration. No, none of the other city employees get that. There's nothing special about these people. They're humans, they make mistakes, and they have bad cops and good cops, No, they shouldn't be protected, absolutely not. Many cities have started to repeal that, by the way. I've heard a bogus argument that somehow it protects us from getting from strikes by fire and police. Absolutely bogus. It was a political compensation prize given to police and fire after it was made very difficult for police and fire to strike. They were given the right to collective bargaining, but it was made very hard for them to strike. I'm not worried about police and fire striking. I'm much more worried about police and fire bankrupting the city of Oakland so that we don't get the vital services we need. So that we have to gut every single service just to afford more police and to afford the retirement of police, fire, and all the other city employees in the style that we've gotten them accustomed to, but we cannot afford.
So, what did you think of the debate last night?
What was surprising was the. I would say, not surprising, what was most gratifying was that on either side of me, you had someone to the left of me, someone who might be to the right of me, I'm not sure, you know, whatever. Candidate from the Green Party, and another person on the sitting to the left of me, who pretty much we were all on the same page as far as agreeing that the city of Oakland was extremely dysfunctional and that we can't continue letting them run things the way they run it. You had the person on the left of me agreeing with me that there was no way that you could outgrow the fiscal problems in order to even come up with money to pay for more cops, let alone pay for that unfunded liability. His solution was not acceptable to me, but I respect his calculations. He was coming up with an $80 a year parcel tax in addition to the $60 we're already paying now. Oh no, he's absolutely right. There's no way you can outgrow the cost of adding more police when they're $200,000 a year. I would say you don't pay them $200,000 a year, and you don't pay any city. All new city employees have to be paid substantially less than what they're getting now. Then we have to go to work and give them, show them tough love, the existing employees. We have to say, hey, we really are sorry that our elected officials promised you these retirement benefits and gave you these high wages that were all based on a bubble economy, okay, of the, you know, seven, eight, 9 years ago kind of thing. They never set aside any money to pay for those benefits. We didn't have the money then. We don't have the money now. We can't even afford those wages we paid you, but we'll try to pay the wages, but there's no way in heck we can pay those retirement benefits. Now, the person on the left of me took the position of just sort of accepting the power of the unions and so, you know, that you're not going to change that because this is, you know, they run things in Oakland. and he said, let's just raise taxes to pay for cops. You know, I understand why he says that. Someone might say, yeah, that's realistic. You're never going to cut compensation costs in Oakland until a federal bankruptcy judge does it for you. He might be right. I mean, he didn't say that, but that's, you know, I think that's the logical conclusion or the assumption underlying his saying, well, let's just raise taxes. Okay. But he was quite clear too. He knew it wasn't going to touch the several billion dollars of unfunded liabilities. Now, on the other side of me was the person who on many things is to the left of me, and he was agreeing that that candidates and incumbents in Oakland are in the pockets of the municipal unions. I mean, he didn't quite come out and say that, but he came very close to saying that it's a corrupting situation. That to get elected in Oakland, the people who are going to make the biggest difference are the municipal unions, with their contributions of money and so-called volunteer labor, going door to door, phone banking, stuff like that. These are the very people whose decisions on compensation, working conditions, that the elected officials have to make decisions about, and when you're none of the candidates, including myself, had time to discuss it, but it's incredibly costly to run for office anywhere, including Oakland. To run for office in Oakland and win at a city council, you have to have $100,000. That's what the campaign reports over the past 10 years show. Okay, that $100,000 goes for mailers of $15,000-$16,000 a piece, advertisements, paying for consultants, all this kind of stuff. Okay, and that doesn't include the so-called independent expenditures that your supporters, like the fire department, the firefighters, or the police, or whoever it might be, SEIU might be paying for you. That's in addition to that. So once you're you know, once you're supported by them, you're going to be very reluctant to bite the hand that feeds you, because you know that in a mere 4 years, you have basically 3 years, you have to run for office again. So you're very careful when you're in office not to do anything to alienate those supporters. And as a result, nothing changes. We have consistently given the municipal unions everything they asked for and more in some cases, to the point where we have an unsustainable fiscal situation, and a situation which is such that we can't afford vital services. The only way to keep those unsustainably high levels of wages and benefits up is furloughs and cutting budgeted but unfilled positions. That's the kind of thing Richard Ryo, by the way, did when he created those savings at the county. You know, these are the kind of changes that preserve and protect the existing city employees' wages and benefits, but it hurts the residents because you're cutting services in effect.
Did you feel like your message is getting through to people?
That depends. It's very hard to get your message through in these forums. They're extremely structured, and they're very, very limited as far as how long you can talk. They make it really hard to sort of cross-examine the statements of other candidates. So, to the extent that voters like any normal people don't want to hear bad news, they want positive, uplifting messages. God knows we all want that. You know, I mean, there's enough bad news when you open the news, you know, when you read the newspaper online or listen to television or whatever you have. You know, we all want to hear good news. Hey, look, people like having smoke blown at them. That's because they want to be told, hey, everything's okay. Be happy. Don't worry. It's under control. Vote for me and I'll help us outgrow our problems. You don't have to pay any more taxes. You won't have to do anything unpleasant like tell city employees who've built their lives around the promised wages and benefits. Oh, it's awful what we did to them. I mean, we weren't doing them a favor promising them these retirement benefits. No, we didn't have the money. We should never have promised it to them. But that's what we did, you know. Having said that, my line, as it were, my mantra is: we owe all the city employees, including police, including fire, who often do very difficult work. We owe them an apology for promising them these benefits and paying them these wages we can't afford. We owe them an apology, but we don't owe them the city. We can't gut city services to the point where we cut into the marrow of the very services that the city has to provide, and we'll have to do that in order to pay these retirement benefits. You know, we'd be lucky to have 300 police in a few years if we actually come up with the money each year to pay for the retirement medical and the pensions that we have promised all these employees. That's how bad it is. When you look at $2.5 billion, that's actually, even by the mayor's own budget facts, that's a low, because that doesn't include what CalPERS is probably going to hit us with when they actually phase in all the adjustments they have to make for how much money they lost in some of their really stupid investments in real estate and stuff over the years. And when they factor in that a lot of people in a lot of counties and cities are going to be taking early retirement. Okay, once that all hits, and once they factor in, of course, a realistic stock market assumption, the amount we're going to have to pay the CalPERS is going to probably be huge also. I wouldn't be surprised if our unfunded liabilities for pensions and for road repairs we've just permanently put off, things like that. Oh, it's probably $4 billion. It's a huge number, and the politicians don't even want to look at it. It's so scary. They're just in denial about it. And I would say that's pretty much what I would call them, Peter, Paul, and Mary. Amy Lemley, Richard Raya, and Dan Kalb. They're in denial too. Interesting story, which I recounted, an anecdote or something which I recounted at the Temescal Forum on Sunday. I was talking to a former Oakland politician who had been very, very popular here, and I asked the person whether city elected officials, politicians, union leaders, whether they were counting on a federal bankruptcy judge to eventually take over, much the way we're headed for OPD, much the way OUSD went, Stockton, San Bernardino, Vallejo went. Are they pretty much counting on a federal bankruptcy judge stepping in 2-3 years and relieving them of the difficult decisions, the politically suicidal decisions for them, telling the city employees that, hey, we can't afford what we've promised you, and or telling the residents, hey, if you want to pay $2,000 a year in parcel taxes, et cetera, triple your parking fines, you have a choice. Yeah. Either we go bankrupt and don't pay the retirement and the medical stuff and other things, or you guys, pay $2,000-$3,000 a year in parcel taxes and $200 a parking, fines, and triple the parking meter rates, that kind of thing. That would be political suicide for many of these politicians who got elected. It would be suicide for the union leaders too. You can't tell your they feel they can't go back and tell rank and file, hey, look, you got to give back even more than you've given back. They won't get reelected as union leaders. It's a political reality. Anyway, so the point of it all was, I was asking this former Oakland political.
Who was it? Paul,
hit the microphone.
Put it back on.
Anyway, I asked this former Oakland politician whether was that the case, the politician laughed. The politician laughed and said, "Len, you really don't get it, do you? You are naive." He said, "What you don't understand is that the union leaders and the Oakland elected officials and the politicians running don't think that far ahead. They really don't think more than about a year ahead. So they have their heads in the sand, basically. Here I am thinking that at least they know the reality of the situation. They've made a political decision that, okay, it's going to be, we're headed to bankruptcy no matter what, so I might as well protect my job or my political position and blow smoke at the taxpayers or the union rank and file. And heck, if you're a union leader, if you can just get another couple of years of high wages for your rank and file, you're doing them a favor. Because in Oakland, as in most other places in California, your retirement's based on your very last year's wages. So, hey, if you can keep them going like that and probably get a cost of living increase in there, or a typical thing in Oakland is the last year the employee gets bumped a whole pay level. Patrolman or patrol woman gets bumped up to a sergeant, then a sergeant to a captain, and a captain to whatever, commander, and similar things in the fire department, even in the clerical areas. They're similar. There's sort of a fifth level that everyone gets promoted to in their last year, just so their pensions can get spiked. Okay. So yeah, if you're a union leader, you really are doing your workers a favor by that. Unfortunately, you're screwing future generations of Oaklanders and young Oaklanders, sticking them with huge liabilities that are building up by the day, and you're also messing over current residents who who are going to get seriously hurt if we go into a federal bankruptcy. And the bankruptcy judge is going to start cutting services. And the people who are really going to suffer from that are poor people of color in Oakland. The people in well-to-do areas of Oakland are not going to say, oh yeah, they'll have more potholes, but they get their, they, as much as they love libraries, they get their books from Amazon. They download it to their Kindles, okay? They, and as far as security goes, oh, they have video cameras. They're reinforcing their door frames against kick-ins. In several areas, they're talking about hiring, and they already have hired private security patrols. Okay, they're not the ones who are going to get hurt when as we go into bankruptcy, as we go toward bankruptcy, as we go toward a situation where whether you're officially in bankruptcy or not, you've cut city services by to the point where people are hurting, residents are hurting. Yeah, it's poor people of color who are going to get screwed.
How far are we from the fiscal cliff?
I'd say probably 2 years. Yeah, I was actually impressed by how well Kwan's administrator has juggled various funds and borrowed from this fund and that fund and cut positions that were budgeted, but not filled, moved around remaining funds from RDA, which we'll probably have to repay very soon, you know. She's done a very good shell job on that. Yeah, I would say shell game on that one. I would say you know, probably 2 years at most, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Say that as a complete sentence. Could you say that as a complete sentence?
Oh, no. Say that. Okay, what's that? Oh, I would say 2 years at most as far as when we're actually unable to meet payroll and the bond obligations also. Yeah. It was clear proof of the quote dire financial situation we're in that the city council unanimously approved borrowing another $250 million on the bond market to dump into the old pension fund for police and fire. Those were the words actually used by two of the city council members. For sure, Pat Kernahan used the word, we're in dire situation. If we don't borrow the money, I don't know what we'll do, were her words. And I think you can find a quote from Libby Schaff from Montclair, the councilwoman from Montclair, in the last month in which she said she has nightmares of the city going bankrupt. Yeah, these are real. It's not just, you know, doom and gloom Len coming up with these things. It's...